and murdered in 20 seconds. Pop culture and more in 12 minutes or less.
Okay, welcome to part 87 of my brief of my history with VMTV, my original show. My name is John. This is 720 seconds. Welcome. And thank you for bearing with me through all these parts. I know I'm jumping around from story to story. Thank you for bearing with me. This was something I needed to get out. That being said, let's continue with whatever part we're on right now. So I hit up this producer, TV, comic, whoever. Actually, his name was Paul Wagner. You know what? How many people are really listening to this that they're actually going to look this guy up? So who cares? So I said, hey, listen, I got this show that I do. We talk about video games and whatnot. I said, well, how can I submit this to a major network? What do I have to do? So the more I told him, the more interested he sounded. So he said, look, I'm interested in this idea. I want to produce this myself, actually. He goes, listen, this was September of 2000, not 2001. This was 2000. He said, look, next month, October of 2000, he says, next month I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be staying at this hotel. Give me a number. I'll call you. We'll talk. Great. Next month comes. I don't remember if I told any of my family members about this, because, you know, my family, really the only supportive person through all this was my grandma. Anytime my mom refused to give me the camcorder, because again, she thought I would break the camcorder, which I ended up doing anyway, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. My grandma was always the first to say, oh, let him do what he wants. I don't think she would have been that agreeable if I decided to develop a drug habit, but okay. You kind of get what I'm saying. It's like, okay, what's the worst that can happen if he uses your camera and he plays with his friends? Well, okay. Back then, it was a different story because, yeah, we were playing, we were having a good time, but then came the YouTube days where it's, okay, we actually have an audience now. It's a small audience, but at least there are 100 more people watching it than there were, you know, 10, 12 years ago. So I knew that if I went to my parents and said, hey, you know, I think this producer wants to produce the show, I'm pretty sure they would have dismissed it, or they would have said, you know, I wouldn't trust this guy, whatever. But he was more or less legit. Let me explain. So October comes, and he calls me, and he says, hey, look, I think we got something here. Here's what we're going to do. You and your cousin will write the reviews. I'll bring in some actors to host the show. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you know, listen, been giving this some thought. Nobody knows who you and your cousin are. You know, I don't think he was comfortable with having unknowns on camera. And I'm thinking, okay, who are you going to hire? Brad Pitt? I mean, I kind of understood where he was coming from. Okay, you want someone attractive. You know, you want like a good-looking guy and a good-looking girl. Okay, I get that. But at the same time, I wasn't comfortable with that. Not because I wanted to be on camera and I wanted to, you know, have all the fortune and glory. It's because this isn't honest. Why am I going to sit here and write my feelings about a game or a show or a movie or whatever we were doing at the time? Why am I going to write this stuff only to let someone else read it who has either never played the game or knows what we're talking about? It just seemed unethical. But apparently, you know, he said, well, you don't really understand how this business works, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, this is how this business works? Is that whatever reviews we write, they're given to someone else? That's not how Siskel and Ebert work, right? If that were the case, Siskel and Ebert would be writing the reviews and we'd get someone who had more hair and less fat. You know, I hate to be so blunt, but let's think about that for a minute. So I voiced my displeasure in this. So he said, well, I guess there's really nothing more we can talk about. And I thought that was the end of that until 2005. I contacted this guy again through an unemployment office where I was supposed to be looking for a job. And I wrote to him again, and he kind of remembered me. And this time he had a different approach. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Since you didn't agree with my first idea, we'll split the producer's cost. So you'll give me half of $10,000, or you'll get 10% associate producer credit, I think he said. And now that I look back, I'm wondering if I should have taken that. But what I told him was, okay, I'm writing to you from an unemployment office. I don't have half of what you want. So that was the end of that. So I didn't exactly have anything to write home about and say, hey, guys, guess what? Someone likes my show that you thought was going nowhere, so ha ha ha. So fast forward to 2006. I had a couple of more episodes of the radio show added on, but I still wanted to do the TV show. I wanted to bring the original Video Masters back. Unfortunately, everybody else had moved on. By this point, Jason was home from college, but I think he initially passed on the offer. He came later on, guys, so don't worry. But Jose and Winston had moved to Connecticut, so that was going to be impossible. But by this point, I had started college. I was doing a two-year stint. I got my associates in digital media, and what they had given us was a digital camera, not a digital camcorder. Because stupid me, I took digital media instead of digital film, and I didn't notice that, hey, there's a digital film course. Because I see these guys walking around with these $3,000 camcorders, and I'm literally drooling, and I'm thinking, why didn't I take this film course? But I was already 2 months into the digital media course. I couldn't transfer my credits according to the school, so you know, crap. But I started using the digital camera to record live action. Now, because I only had, I think, a 256 megabyte card in the camera, I can only record a couple of minutes at a time in 320 by 240 resolution. And plus the sound was horrible, but hey, I had something. So that's how I did the first couple of episodes of Video Masters TV. Now, when I started, this was August of 2006. This was a month after my grandma passed away. So I was still in the early stages at the time of, you know, putting the show together, and I was talking with my friend Matt. Matt, how you doing? If you're listening, what's up? And I'm pretty sure if Grandma got to see, you know, the show be on YouTube, I'm pretty sure she would have been happy for me. But I'm sure she's watching in some capacity, so Grandma, thanks. So when I first did this relaunch, you have to understand, at the time, there were still a lot of reviewers on YouTube with attitude. This was around the time that YouTube started debuting, so we saw a lot of, people doing game review shows. There's a couple of guys who lived out in Boston. They did this show called Game Life, and, you know, despite the fact that a lot of people thought of these guys as really awkward teenagers, I found it very charming. It reminded me of myself when I first started. So I gave them, I gave these guys a lot of credit that, you guys came on, you were passionate about what you loved, and you know, bravo. But then I still saw other people who were taking the angry approach, you know, this game sucks and you suck, and if you like this game then you suck. So I thought, all right, this is still relevant, I guess. So I suppose I should still continue on with this. Once again, all goes back to just be yourself. You know, don't try to copy other people. Yeah, you're talking to the same guy who copied off of GamePro TV. I'm telling you, the first couple of episodes of the original Video Masters, yeah, we ripped them off pretty good. Or pretty bad. But over time, we developed our own style. And I will definitely get into that in more detail in our next chapter. So have your bookmarks ready. We're heading into, what is this, part 7, part 8? I don't know. Thanks for sticking with me for this long. This is John for 720 Seconds. We'll talk to you guys another day. Take care.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Video Masters TV. I'm Matt. I'm going to review Maximo, Ghost to Glory, PS2 by Capcom. Let's look at the intro story. Maximo has returned from war, only to find that Achilles, his advisor, has become really evil. Achilles has imprisoned 4 sorceresses of the ruling council to 4 different towers strewn across the land. Achilles has also taken Maximo's bride-to-be named Sophia to be his own wife. So Maximo's quest now is to rescue the 4 sorceresses from the 4 towers, overthrow Achilles, take his bride back, and take his throne back. Maximo Ghosts to Glory on the PS2 is a good game. I would probably rate it 7 out of 10. You know why I gave it a 7? When you slash, 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 there's a major pause before you can actually move. That, to me, is a big no-no in game design.
I just got done playing a short round of Temple of Doom, the arcade game. Get it? Short round? No? You know, short round, the character short... Short, the little Asian guy, short round from the movie. Mm-hmm. And I played a short round of the game. Anyway, off with his head. Today I'm going to be reviewing Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the arcade game from 1985 by Lucasfilm and Atari Games.